This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, my understanding, Rob, is that yesterday was the last show that we will miss for the remainder of the year because of the Kansas City Royals. Now, we'll be off early a couple of days because the Royals are in the Eastern time zone, but it is my understanding that yesterday is the last day that we will be preempted at 2 o'clock from talking Kansas City Chiefs football. Is that your understanding, Rob?
That is how I understand it as well.
All right. This is where I want to start today, because it is not very often that I get the opportunity on a Monday to sort of survey the landscape. I don't really listen to a lot of other people's shows. That's not a knock on anybody else's show. I feel like we're doing our own thing over here. I feel like our own thing is very good. I'm not interested in hearing other people's Chiefs opinions and letting it permeate through my Chiefs opinions. But yesterday, after a loss and us not having a show yesterday, I was very curious. I was very curious to hear what people are talking about. And I hear some conversations about Juan Thornhill, and I hear some conversations about Daniel Sorensen, and conversations about Patrick Mahomes' interception and Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And there's a lot of talking points about the individual game. But let's all agree on this one thing. It is a week two loss in the NFL. It doesn't change anything that I feel in the big picture for the Kansas City Chiefs. They're still going to win 13 games. They're still the best team in the AFC. They're still one of the three best teams in the league. I'm not here to get all up in arms about one individual loss. I made the reference yesterday on the show. Or not on the show, on the Twitter machine. I wasn't on the show yesterday. I made the reference yesterday that it felt like one of those early conference losses for Kansas. UKU fans know what I'm talking about. It's like the second or third game in Big 12 play. You go on the road to TCU. You go on the road to Oklahoma State. You lose. Everybody comes in the next day. The sky is falling. It's the worst team we've had, you know. But I'm here to say, relax. Calm down just a bit. This is still a Super Bowl team. They're flawed, but this is still one of the better teams in the league. I'm not interested in talking about the little things. I'm interested in talking about the big thing. It's time for us to have an honest Brett Veach conversation. I'm not interested in talking about Jody Fortson today. He has played 7 snaps for the Chiefs in the first 2 games. I'm not interested in Darius Fountain, who was a really cool story in August, but is nowhere to be found. Let's talk about the person who has put this roster together. Brett Veach's number one responsibility is drafting players, right? That's his number one responsibility, is to continue to keep a stockpile of young, cost-controlled players. That's his number one priority. I hear everybody say in the NFL, the dangers of paying your quarterback, understandably different with the Kansas City Chiefs, is that now you really got to hit in the draft. If you're going to give your quarterback all the money in the world, the way the Chiefs have, you have to keep the talent and the roster stockpiled with very talented, cost-controlled players. Let's go through an exercise. I have written down on a sheet of paper all of Brett Veach's top 75 picks in the draft. From pick 1 to pick 75. These are all the players that Brett Veach has drafted. Breland Speaks, Derek Nnadi, Mecole Hardman, Juan Thornhill, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Willie Gay Jr., and two rookies this year, Nick Bolton and Creed Humphrey. Let's leave Nick Bolton and Creed Humphrey out of it. We've only seen 120 minutes of those guys. Nick Bolton probably wouldn't be a starter this year for this team, but an injury happened, next man up. You know what? My issue is not with Creed Humphrey and Nick Bolton. I'm sparing them from this conversation. Patrick Mahomes in 10 minutes. Breland Speaks, bust. I don't know what Breland Speaks looks like at this point. He is nowhere to be found. I ain't heard from him. I ain't seen him. I don't know if he's a real person. Bust. Derek Nnadi, just another guy. I know you guys love Derek Nnadi, and he's fine. But every team in the NFL has two or three Derek Nnadis. He's just fine. He's not good. He's not bad. He's not a game changer. Your roster needs him. He's just a guy. Mecole Hardman. He seems more interested in playing Fortnite or Call of Duty or going to Topgolf. He's just fine. Mecole Hardman's fine. He's not bad. He's not good. He's just fine. Juan Thornhill. I've sat here every day for the last 5 years, and I've heard you guys tell me how bad Daniel Sorensen is, how Daniel Sorensen stinks and they got to get rid of him, and how he misses so many tackles. How could they not see it? It is year three of Juan Thornhill, and he is still behind Daniel Sorensen. We ain't talking about a rookie in his second game like Nick Bolton or Creed Humphrey. It is year three for Juan Thornhill, and he is playing behind one of your least favorite players. This is facts. I'm here. You guys hate Daniel Sorensen. You guys have been trying to replace Daniel Sorensen since the first Obama administration, and he still continues to start on this team over Juan Thornhill. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, just another guy. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is what, 17th best running back in the NFL? 18th best running back in the NFL? I'm not saying Daniel Sorensen's bad. He's not bad. He's just a guy. He's just a guy. Willie Gay Jr. was really optimistic about him coming into the season. The biggest headline for Willie Gay Jr. so far in his career was his car got stolen. That is the biggest headline of Willie Gay Jr.'s career so far as a member of the Kansas City Chiefs, that they needed OnStar to find his vehicle. Text line, if I'm wrong, we will take phone calls the rest of the way after we play the Mahomes interview that we recorded yesterday. You got my word on this. Brett Veach has not drafted one player who is a foundational piece for this team. Not one. Not a single piece. I've been saying this message from the beginning. The best thing that Brett Veach has done is re-sign John Dorsey drafted players. Patrick Mahomes. We can go back and forth on who drafted him. He was not the general manager at the time. Dorsey was. I'm giving that to Dorsey. Chris Jones. For as much as we talk about how that defensive line has so much depth, and he didn't draft him. He didn't. Chris Jones is good. That's a Dorsey pick. That's maybe my issue with this team right now, Rob. I don't want to come off as sounding mad. I'm not mad. This team's still good. They're a 13-win football team. But we at least got to be honest about why Sunday happened the way that it happened. And moving forward, the difficulties that it's going to have in sustaining this if they continue to draft the way that they've drafted. Actually, you know what? This is one frustration that I have. Mahomes is up in 5 minutes. I remember sitting in this chair after the Super Bowl. Some of you remember. Some of you were here. I appreciate you if you were here. And when everybody was quick to throw everything on the offensive line, and I felt like I was one of the few people here, and I was like, they kind of got a little bit more problems than that. Not a whole lot of problems, but hey, the pass rush is a little lacking a little bit. Their pass rush leaves a little bit to be desired. But Chris Jones called me a clown, so everybody just kind of forgot about it. This team has had an issue at linebacker now since Derek Johnson got drafted. I don't feel like they've solved that issue at linebacker. There were other things that were wrong with the Kansas City Chiefs after the Super Bowl. There's not a lot of things wrong with this team, but there were still things wrong with them. But Rob, maybe my one issue with Brett Veach right now is I felt like Brett Veach treated this offseason like a Twitter follower. I think he treated this offseason like the text line. To hell with number two wide receiver. To hell with improving, making real acquisitions on the D-line. To hell with going out in free agency and really spending money on the linebacker group. We're going to pour every single resource into the offensive line. Every single resource that we have. Our first pick capital we spent on an offensive lineman. We traded for him. Our biggest free agent dollars are going in the draft. Even though we picked up Austin Blythe, let's double down and go get another offensive lineman. I feel like Brett Veach built the team the way Twitter would want you to build the team, or the way that Facebook would tell you to build the team, or the way that the Arrowhead Pride comment sections would tell you to build the team. Their defensive line was average last year, and they made one move. They picked up Jaren Reed. One move. Their linebacker group was the worst part of their team last year. We thought Nick Bolton in the second round was fixing all their linebacker problems, and they still haven't, in the conversation of Daniel Sorensen, they still haven't picked somebody over Ben Neiman. Let's not kid ourselves. If Sorensen is still a rock in that lineup, whenever Willie Gay Jr. gets back, guess who ain't coming off the field? Ben Neiman. There's still time to get this fixed. I know I sound a little antsy. I'm just fired up from yesterday because I didn't get to do the show yesterday. I'm not mad. I swear to you, I'm not mad. But we got to have real conversations about their general manager and the way that they put this team together. We got to have real conversations about that because this team doesn't look to be much better than they were last year. As of now, they don't look to be much better. Now, what they were last year is a really good team. But this offseason, the way they were built, I don't know if they've taken many steps forward this year. I don't see it defensively. Offensively, they're good. You got to be good. You got a Hall of Fame quarterback. You got a Hall of Fame tight end. And a guy in Tyreek Hill who has a chance of making the Hall of Fame, and I probably will. So those are my issues today with Brett Veach. I have not looked at the text line. I know what the text line is saying. He's won two Super Bowls. Yes, Brett Veach has done all of those things. I can't deny facts. But we can't deny these are his top 75 picks. Breland Speaks, Derek Nnadi, Mecole Hardman, Juan Thornhill, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Willie Gay Jr., Nick Bolton, and Creed Humphrey. I hear a lot more misses than I hear makes in that scenario. We can't deny that his big trade in Frank Clark is a player that none of us believe in. We can't deny that they traded Marcus Peters and Alex Smith for one player who's still on their roster. And it's Armani Watts. They had Alex Smith and Marcus Peters. I guess two players because Thornhill's on the team. They traded a Pro Bowl corner and a Pro Bowl level quarterback for a backup safety and a special teams player that's currently on their roster. I don't know what to do with this information. So that's if you want to know where I am today and how I feel, that's how I feel. That's where I am today. Coming up after we play this Patrick Mahomes interview, I'm sure we'll talk about what people would deem to be more positive things. I don't want to sound like it's woe is me, that the Chiefs are a very good team. But if we can have this level of energy for Mecole Hardman, and we can have this level of energy for DeMarcus Robinson, and we can have this level of energy for Daniel Sorensen, We got to have that level of energy to the person who keeps bringing them back. Demarcus Robinson has been a free agent two consecutive times. Brett Veach just signed me up. Daniel Sorensen was a free agent. They brought Daniel Sorensen back, who has 9 missed tackles in 2 games. He has 9 missed tackles in 2 games. One person keeps bringing him back. That person is the general manager of the team. Hit it, Rob.
He's a Super Bowl champion and NFL MVP.
Mahomes throws for the end zone. The pass caught. Wide open touchdown, Kansas City.
And there's only one place in Kansas City.
Mahomes comes along for the end zone. Wide open touchdown, Kansas City.
And the only one place in the country.
That's what's great about the NFL. You keep building and trying to play your best football going into the playoffs and trying to get to the Super Bowl.
That talks with Patrick Mahomes every week. And that's right here on 610 Sports Radio, your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Our conversations with the quarterback, Patrick Mahomes, are powered by Google Fiber. Our conversation with Patrick Mahomes started with last Friday was his 26th birthday. How did it go?
It was good, you know. Got to spend it with some of my friends and family. It was definitely a great time.
I don't even want to see what your phone looks like on your birthday. I'm imagining you had like 300 texts.
Oh, yeah. I had a lot of text messages, a lot of Instagram messages, but it was good. I replied to them all. It just took me a little bit to get through them all.
Who's the most famous person who texts you for your birthday?
I don't know exactly. I mean, I had a lot of random people text me that I've kind of met over the years here. But, it's just cool to be able to not only have friends and family, but people that you kind of only met a couple times text you about it.
I'm always big on asking you this just because it just blows my mind. Like, what does somebody get you as a gift?
I think it's just usually things that I use a lot. Brittany and my mom are usually pretty good about either getting me sentimental things or getting me things that I wouldn't even think about getting, but I use. So those definitely are the things that I ended up liking the most.
One thing that stood out to me yesterday watching the game was whenever they showed Ray Lewis on the Jumbotron, he was doing his dance. You kind of had that, oh boy, that's Ray Lewis, that I really appreciate that you're just a fan of the game and you appreciate the history of it.
Yeah, for sure. And I watched Ray growing up. So it was cool to see him come out and do it. I was trying to get Chad Henne's attention because he actually can do the dance as well, that Ray little shuffle thing that he does. So I was trying to get Chad to do it, but he wouldn't do it.
He's one of those players. Ray Lewis is just one of those players that, like, on defense, you and I were a little bit in age, but we kind of grew up around the same era of, he was one of those defensive players that, like, scared you, but you also felt like could take over a game, and he also could single-handedly win it just by his presence on the field.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard many stories of quarterbacks that played against him and that how he was diagnosing plays and calling out what you're going to do and what your checks were, and even to the time where he was telling you what you should check too. So, I mean, just the mindset of being able to know that, the film study, that's definitely something that I'm glad I don't have to go against.
So last week you had the environment of playing your first home game with fans, at least at a full capacity in some time. What was it like to go back on the road and play on that Sunday night environment against one of you guys' rivals in the AFC?
Yeah, it was definitely cool. I mean, it was my first time to play in that stadium with fans in the stands. And so it was a great environment, obviously a hostile environment, but I thought we responded well, just didn't come out with the win in the end.
I know you guys sort of know that there's a target on your back for the other teams in the AFC, and I thought it was pretty apparent what this win meant to the Baltimore Ravens and how they kind of celebrated at the end, that they've heard a lot about how they haven't been able to get over you guys. Do you guys talk about that, about, you know, you got to be sharp because you know you're going to get everybody's best effort every week?
Yeah, I mean, we've known that for the last few years now. I mean, we're going to get the best from every single team that we go against. And so we have to have the mindset of we're going to play our best football. So when you don't play your best football and you make mistakes, you lose football games.
Right now we're talking to the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, here on The Drive. Patrick, I feel like this is a cliche question, but how do you not let this one loss turn into two losses for you guys?
Yeah, I mean, you got to be able to bounce back in this league. You're not going to win every single game. You can try to. Go out there and have your best effort. But you have to have the leaders on the team to come back and fix what you messed up on. And we had a lot to learn. We had a lot to learn from in the film study from this last game. We have to come back and be better for it. And hopefully it kind of sparks a little bit of energy in the team that we didn't know that we need to get better and better as the season goes on.
When you watch it, what do you get more from watching you guys wins and watching what you guys do really well, or the losses and what you guys need to correct?
No, I mean, it's both. I mean, you want to figure out what you're best at. You want to figure out the plays that we ran that we had success with and keep improving on those. And then you look at the stuff that you didn't have success on. You have to find ways to get better there. Like I said, it's a great film, a great game to watch and see a lot of things that we did well, but also see stuff that we didn't do well.
You mentioned great. Every week I feel like I ask you a question about Travis Kelce and something that he does. He just does things that not many other players in the history of the league can do.
Yeah, I mean, the physical talent that he is, I mean, to be able to make that run after the catch of how big he is and be able to read the zone defenses. And I mean, I always talk about it, it's kind of like a tango between him and Tyreek, where Tyreek kind of causes defenses to play zones, and then Trav just really destroys the zone coverages. And so having both those guys really helps this offense go.
I remember Therese used to always say that gunfighters get shot. You know, when you make big plays down the field, eventually it comes back to bite you in some respect. You've talked about the interception, and I don't got to tell you about the play, but how do you not let one bad play kind of define you or kind of get in your head that, yeah, I made this mistake, but I make a majority of these kind of plays. I can't let it make me be timid for making these kind of plays in the future.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say this. I mean, I know and I learn from different passes that I make that I know I don't need to do again if that's an interception or if it's not an interception, if it's just close to an interception. But I'll never be kind of shy of throwing the ball. I'll never be shy of giving my guys chances to make plays. I believe that's kind of what makes me who I am and what makes this team who we are. I mean, we have guys that can make plays in one-on-one coverage, and we have guys that we scramble around and make those throws, and usually they work out well. And if they don't, you learn from it and get better from it.
Whenever something like this happens, is that something that Andy comes up to you and says, or one of those things like, you know, like you guys don't need to have that conversation because you already know what you did?
Yeah, I mean, he'll definitely might say something, or him or Coach Bieniemy will say something, but they know that I know. I mean, I knew from the moment I threw it. I knew before the play I should have thrown the flat route because I knew they were going to play the deep zone coverage, and I just tried to force it there at the end, even though I was about to throw the flat. But I just got to know the situation of the game, know that we can punt the ball. We don't have to score every single time, even though I want to. It's definitely something that I'll continue to learn from and get better from.
You talked about not being shy. What was your message to Clyde Edwards-Helaire after the late fumble?
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be a vital part of this team. I mean, he's someone that's going to get the hard-earned yards when we need him. He's going to catch the ball out of the backfield. And he, like you said, you can't let one play define him. I mean, I think it was one of his only fumbles, if not his only fumble he's ever had. So we'll never be shy of giving him the ball in those situations, letting him make plays because we know that he can do it.
This week is very different for you guys. There aren't many weeks where you guys are coming off of losses. You've lost like two of your last 29 regular season games. Whenever you guys meet on Wednesday and you guys are back as a team, what's your message to the group to get you to Sunday against the Chargers?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's a lot that needs to be said. I mean, you can see it in the eyes of the guys in the locker room. I mean, guys are ready to go. We know how big of a game this is going to be, AFC West opponent, a team that's really good and going to give us their best shot again. And so, the guys will come in hungry and ready to go this week, and we get to go to Arrowhead, and I'm excited for that.
I know you saw the Peyton Manning and Eli thing. Travis went on there last week. Is there a chance that we see you join Peyton and Eli on their Monday Night Football broadcast?
Not that I know of as of right now. So unless something changes in the future, right now I don't think I'm going to be on it.
I think you'd be great on there. Just like your understanding of football, your personality, I think you'd be great on there.
Yeah, and I know Eli and Peyton pretty well. I went to the Manning camp, and I've got to meet him a couple times and talk to him a couple times since then. Great dude, so I'm sure that we'd have some great conversations. But not as much during season that I do stuff like that, so we'll see.
That is the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, joining us on the show today. Our conversations with the quarterback are powered by Google Fiber. Patrick, it's always an honor to get to talk to you, man. I appreciate your time, man. Have a good day.
Yeah, thank you.
The conversation with the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, is powered by Google Fiber. Normally, we have him Mondays at 2:15, but yesterday with the Royals day-night doubleheader, we had to record it and play it for you today. Coming up on the other side, I want to take you guys' phone calls, 913-576-7610. I don't want to just sit here and rant and rave and be on my soapbox about Brett Veach. But I was frustrated watching them on Sunday, and when I really think about how this team was put together and the creation of the team, there are some serious questions that need to be asked about their general manager. Top 75 picks: Breland Speaks, Derek Nnadi, Mecole Hardman, Juan Thornhill, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Willie Gay Jr., Nick Bolton, and Creed Humphrey. Big trades: the Frank Clark trade. Orlando Brown, good player. At some point, we got to have the conversation with Orlando Brown. Is that a guy you want to give $100 million to? Because that's what he's in line to get. Anthony Hitchens contract. I've always been a little bit on the other side when it comes to Brett Veach. But if we're talking about moving forward and the mantra for the Chiefs is going to be you got to do more with less because of Pat's contract, Veach just hasn't shown me that he's a guy that is able to do more with less. He's not able to maximize draft picks. He hasn't been able to fully maximize trades. I just don't love the way that the Chiefs roster is constructed. Mahomes, to me, is the Band-Aid that covers up a lot of the warts and the deficiencies of it. But Mahomes, aside from the interception, was typical Mahomes. He was great out there. They scored a lot of points. But some of the same nagging problems that the Chiefs have had for the last 2 years always come back to bite them, and they go unaddressed. I want to hear from you guys, 913-576-7610. We'll take your calls next. Keep it locked right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love, all streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.
Just let this rock for a little bit. It's The Drive, y'all. Do you remember when it was high September? Love was changing the minds September while chasing the clouds away. Arms ringing in the key that souls singing as we dance in the night. We letting this verse rock. Back in on The Drive, 610 Sports Radio. Carrington here, Rob here, you're here. I appreciate you listening. Phone line, text line, 913-576-7610. Someone on the text line said, I sure hope we get C-Dot later instead of Hate Dot. Someone else said, do you not like Veach, period, or just question his drafting abilities? I have nothing against the man. I'm talking about his effectiveness in doing his job. That's all I'm talking about. The drafting ability stuff to me isn't even debatable at this point. Like, we can debate on whether or not the Sammy Watkins trade was a success for the Chiefs. Like, that's a debate. We can debate on whether the Frank Clark trade has worked or not. I don't know how you can look at his drafts and come away thinking that he's done a good job at that. I don't know how you can do it. It's not there. There's not enough meat. There's not enough substance there. There's not enough substance there for me to say that he's done a really good job. Now, if you can allow me to pat myself on the back just for a little bit, I don't got to do it for a long time. Just, you know what? Just let me wet my beak a little, you know? Number one, when you speak of me, call me Survivor King. a lot of you jump ship. Last year, I was the most voted person at 610. I appreciate you if you voted for me last year. You know, they changed the rules in the middle of the contest, and they changed the terms and conditions, and I had a little bit of a setback. But some of you stay true, stay loyal, and you're reaping the benefits of that now. I'm dominating this Survivor. I'm dominating it right now. And I don't know why that isn't being, because when I turn on the radio, all I hear is ads mocking me. I want to hear your praise as loud as your criticism. That's it. And that's not what I'm getting. That's not at all what I'm getting from you guys. So that's number one. Let me pat myself on the back for the job that I'm doing right now. I'm dominating our Survivor League. That's number one. Number two. Now text line 913-576-7610. You guys know what I'm about to say is true. I told you guys something was wrong with Juan Thornhill. I remember hearing myself say it. Hey, Juan Thornhill is playing in the third and fourth quarter of these preseason games. Something's amiss. That just doesn't add up. Text line callers were telling me to shut up and talk about something else, and that I was being crazy. And I'm like, we all watch football. Like, we follow it. We understand it. And we know that playing late into preseason games is not a good sign. But we let Steve Spagnuolo get up there and tell us stories, and Andy Reid was telling stories, and oh, you guys were buying it. Hook, line, and sinker. You were buying it. And I had to sit here and shut up. That's it. I had to sit here and shut up. We talked about that for what? Day and a half? 2 days? And you guys did not want to hear what I had to say about Juan Thornhill. And I just kept saying, yo, this is odd. For a guy that was highly drafted, now almost 2 years after the ACL injury, that's just odd that he's playing late in the preseason games. He played a lot week one because Tyrann Mathieu wasn't there. Tyrann Mathieu then came back. He played 11 snaps. 11 against the Baltimore Ravens. Text line, pump the brakes, Hate Dot. It's been 2 weeks. He's still not ahead of Daniel Sorensen. That's not a debate. Juan Thornhill is stuck behind the depth chart behind Daniel Sorensen. That seems to me to be a problem. I mean, Rob, they only have three safeties, right? Like, I know Armani Watts is on the team, and I know he's a safety. I guess. I mean, instead of putting S just by his name, they just should add a T, an ST. He's a special teams player. He primarily plays special teams. He does not play. Juan Thornhill being behind Daniel Sorensen at this stage of his career is an indictment. I'm still trying to figure out who it's more of an indictment on. Is it on Thornhill, or is it on them for lack of development, or whatever it is? We can agree that the ACL has made us recalibrate our expectations, right? Like, Juan Thornhill, I thought, was playing at a pretty high level. A pretty high level. Pre-injury, was trending in the right direction. And last year, if you remember, the early part of the season, Juan Thornhill was on the field a lot, right? He's on the field a lot. And Rob, I do want your take on this. It was clear something changed with Juan Thornhill after the bye week. Mitch Holtis calls me snap count dot. Go back and look at the snap counts after the Carolina game. When they had their bye week, they came back and they played the Ravens, and they drastically changed the role for Juan Thornhill. Drastically changed the role for Thornhill. What do we do with that? For a guy that now we expect to take off and start to run. you and I maybe look at this a little bit different, right? Like what you want certain draft picks to be and what your expectation is. Out of all the guys that Brett Veach has drafted as a top 75 players, do you guys feel good about signing any of these guys to a second contract? Speaks, Nottie, Hardman, Thornhill, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Willie Gay Jr. We'll leave Bolton and Creed Humphrey off because they just haven't played enough. But like at the end of this season, if the Chiefs wanted to, you could reach a contract extension with Mecole Hardman. It's after his third year. If you wanted to at the end of this year, you could reach a contract negotiation with Juan Thornhill. You could reach one with Derek Nottie. Would you feel good giving any of those guys a second contract? I think the answer is no. I think the answer is no. Text line 913-576-7610. Sorensen led the team in tackles last year. What's your beef? If you can't see the issue with Daniel Sorensen, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to tell you. I don't have any retort. If you can't see the clear issues with Daniel Sorensen, and if you spend a top 50 pick in the draft and that person can't pass Daniel Sorensen on the depth chart, if you can't see that, I don't know what we're doing here. I don't know. Like, I didn't think you were spending second-round picks on backups to Daniel Sorensen. Like, you would just think that person would pass him on the depth chart, but okay. Someone on the text line, what do the eye tests tell you about Thornhill in week one versus the Browns? Thought he played fine. Sometimes it don't really matter what I think. I think the Chiefs told you what they think. When everybody was back and healthy, he played 11 snaps. Now, maybe that was a scheme and what they wanted to do against the Baltimore Ravens, but at no point did they say, you know what, this Sorensen thing and these missed tackles, they're not really working for us. Let's go in a different direction. And if there's one thing we know, it's Sorensen is going to play. Like, if there's one thing Sorensen hasn't really done, is come off the field since he's been on this team. He is a key member of this defense, whether we want him to be or not. He is a key member of this defense. Keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive on 610 Sports Radio.
The Drive, 610 Sports Radio. You're listening to the home for Salvi Slams.
And a breaking ball is hit high and deep, left center field. That's way back, and that ball is gone. Number 46 for Salvador Perez. And the Royals lead is 7-0.
Coming up in about 10 minutes or so, Mitchell Schwartz will join us in studio. He will probably talk a lot softer than I'm talking right now. I do want to talk about something else before we get back to the Chiefs. But then someone will just send a text and it'll just get my mind working once again. Someone said, text line 913-576-7610, hey, I love Dirty Dan. You tell us what the clear issues are then. Sure, be happy to tell you that. Some of them we knew at the end of the season and we tried to tell ourselves that they didn't really matter a whole lot. Number one, their defensive line does not get consistent push up front. That was obvious last season. I gave the stat during the offseason. Rob, you remember it. Brady has played in 10 Super Bowls. The Chiefs defensive line did the worst job against Brady of any of the other 9 opponents. That is not an opinion. That is a fact. Quarterback hits, quarterback hurries, quarterback pressures. They did the worst job against Brady in any of those matchups. It feels to me that their defensive line strategy is, if Chris Jones can't get there, oh well. Am I wrong in that? Am I off on that? Because not many of us trust Mr. Limited Frank Clark to get in the backfield. Rob, it comes off like their plan in terms of getting pressure is, if Chris Jones can't do it, then we're just not getting pressure up front. We have seen two teams push the Chiefs around up front. Push the Chiefs around. Cleveland did it. and just wasn't good enough at quarterback to really finish it, Baltimore did it. Now, the Chiefs certainly aided in the loss. Mahomes turnover, Clyde Edwards-Helaire turnover. If they don't have those turnovers, the game is different. But that's the margin of error that's just going to happen in the league, especially when you have the defense that they've shown so far this season. I think that is the number one issue on the team right now is their D-line. I would say number two, this team is not better at linebacker. They're just not. So you get pushed around up front, and then once you get to the second level, you are one of the worst linebacker units in the NFL. Then I would say offensively, it's number two wide receiver, but they didn't lose that game because they're number two wide receiver. Like, we can have our issues with Byron Pringle and Mecole Hardman and DeMarcus Robinson. I'm not saying those guys are not issues, but they didn't lose that game because they don't have a good enough number two wide receiver. But I would say that's also an issue. Like, you need Tyreek and Travis to be great most of the time. And if it doesn't happen, it kind of puts you in a little bit of a bind. That's what I see the clear issues are. I mean, we can have conversations about Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And this is the thing I'll say about Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Because I'm not going to lie, Rob. I know you've probably already made a decision. You made a decision once they handed the card in and once Goodell announced who their 31st overall pick was. I'm still not there yet. But I am maybe lying to myself in this aspect. If you live in Kansas City and you're a Chiefs fan or you've been following this team, you know great running backs. We've been watching great running backs in this city for what, 15, 20 years? From Priest to Jamal to Larry to Kareem Hunt to Marcus Allen to, you know great running backs when you see it, right? Like, you know that this player is a game changer. Rob, I know you're not the biggest on running backs, but you can even acknowledge game changing, game breaking, you got to account for them on every play type running backs. I know this is the extreme example, but you know that every time Derrick Henry gets the ball, something special can happen. You don't know when, but if you keep giving Derrick Henry the ball long enough, you know that he is going to make one play that changes the course of the game. Again, I understand that's an extreme example, but follow me here. So with that thinking, Kansas City, the same way that you guys know great pass rushers, you know great linebackers, if you grew up a Chiefs fan, you know who can get to the quarterback and who can't. Because you saw it done at the absolute highest level. You saw it done maybe better than any city has ever seen a pass rusher with Derek Thomas. You know who's special at getting to the quarterback. So with that same thinking, if you know who's special at running back, you got to ask yourself, do you think Clyde Edwards-Helaire is special? Because you probably saw the tweet that was going around too, Rob, that was comparing Kareem Hunt to Clyde Edwards-Helaire. We watched Kareem Hunt. Kareem Hunt had it. You couldn't always define what it was, but sometimes it was he was going to run past you. Sometimes he was going to run by you. Sometimes he was just going to run over you or jump over you. I didn't need to see 20 games of Kareem Hunt to understand, you know what? He's special. He's got a little something, a gift that the rest of the running backs in the league don't have. We've now seen, 20 games of Clyde Edwards-Helaire? Almost? Dating back to last season, postseason, and so far this year? Do you guys think Clyde Edwards-Helaire is special? I'm still on the undecided, but I ain't seen a lot of wow. Like with Tyreek Hill, when he was a rookie, you started to see a little bit of stuff that's like, man, Tyreek different. He's fast. If they can get him to understand the route concepts and run his routes more sharply, like, you got a special player on your team. I don't feel that way. I don't feel that way. I don't. If you guys feel that way, it's fine. I don't feel that way about him. I know Rob doesn't. I don't got to even ask Rob. I know where Rob feels on the issue. text line 913-576. Bro, you're literally in one of the franchise episodes talking about Veach fixing our biggest issue before the season started. Two games in and you suddenly hate the guy. I don't hate Brett Veach. A lot of these things I've been pretty clear on from the very beginning. Brett Veach has improved the offensive line. I'm not denying that. I don't think anybody can deny that they improved their offensive line from the end of the season. We've watched two games of the Chiefs. Where else do you think the Chiefs are better? We've now seen two Sundays of action against two good teams. Baltimore is maybe not the team that they were, but that Baltimore team is still going to beat a lot of people. They can run the ball really well. They got a good quarterback. They're well coached. They're still going to beat a lot of people. From the last time that we saw the Chiefs play last season in the Super Bowl to today, where do you think the Chiefs are better? Are they better in the passing game? Are they better in the running game? Is their D-line better? Is their linebackers better? Are their corners better? Are their safeties better? Are they better at special teams? I agree. Their offensive line was by far and away the biggest issue, and they have corrected the biggest issue that they have. I haven't seen a whole lot of improvement elsewhere on the roster. I don't think they're better anywhere else on the team. And for a team that I thought showed some clear cracks and deficiencies, for a lot of them to go unignored or ignored during the offseason is just a little bit concerning to me. Coming up on the other side, we'll be joined by Mitchell Schwartz, all-pro right tackle. Very happy to have him on the show. Keep it locked right here. It's The Drive.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love, all streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.